Now today we are going to meet some of the women who are the finalists in the South Australian Agri-Futures Rural Women's Award. This award has been going for many years and it really recognises leadership and commitment to Australian regional communities, the businesses, the industries that all make up regional South Australia. And there are four finalists this year and we're going to take a bit of a moment to meet some of them. First cab off the rank is Di Thornton. Hi Di.
Hi Kathy.
So Di, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're wanting to tackle.
I've been a nurse for many years and I changed over my stream to nurse practitioner about 6 years ago. I left the government sector and started up my own private practice because there was a real need for continuity of healthcare within our community because we have had locum doctors for the last 3 or 4 years. And I look at the health of our community. If we don't look after our farmers, then we're not going to be looking after the next generation and everybody within the rural communities who help to support all of our agribusiness across our rural areas.
And are you breaking new ground here, or is this based on other health systems you've seen interstate?
No, it's fairly well breaking new ground. There's a number of nurse practitioners who work across metro areas. They tend to specialise in perhaps diabetes or heart disease or something like that. But general practice nurse practitioners are a relatively new thing. And nurse practitioners owning their own practices and setting them up from scratch are definitely groundbreaking.
Thanks for that, Di. We'll meet Michelle Virko now. Michelle, you're looking at waste removal. Can you tell me a bit about yourself and how you got into this?
Absolutely. Thanks, Cassie. Yes, I'm a civil engineer and based in the Clare Valley. And over the last 18 months, I've had 8 regional councils or progress associations and tourism groups ask me to design a caravan or RV waste dump point for their town. The reason they want to do this is so that they can encourage tourism to their town and obviously reap the benefits of additional tourism, longer stays, etc. However, there's a fair barrier to this at the moment in that caravan and RV waste is hard waste because of the chemicals involved in it, and as a result it can't be disposed of in a normal sort of septic tank and soakage trench or land application area, which as soon as you get outside of one of your major towns there's no sewer system, so it's very, very difficult and very expensive to install one of these because of the ongoing cost of having them regularly pumped out. So it's an area that I'm very interested in. We do a lot of wastewater management, but this is a real sticking point for a lot of rural and regional communities at the moment.
Were you surprised by the amount of interest in this?
I am a little bit surprised in the interest in it. 8 rural and regional communities is a fair number in 18 months, but there's been a big push from the caravan and camping groups to put these in because there really is a lot of self-contained caravans on the road. About 70% of all caravans being manufactured at the moment are fully self-contained. So if you can sort of eliminate that barrier to disposal of the caravan waste, it certainly opens up so many different areas to being able to put in dump points.
And what difference would it make to tourism and getting people into regional South Australia?
Yeah, well, I think it's got a number of benefits. One of the big benefits is probably environmental, in that it would actually lead to a reduction in illegal dumping, because there's a fair bit of illegal dumping, unfortunately, that does go on at the moment. There's also issues with dumping caravan waste into existing public toilet systems that aren't designed for it, and that can lead to premature failure of infrastructure. So there's environmental benefits, there's sustainability benefits, and there's certainly economic benefits, not just in the infrastructure cost, but in that particularly in the ongoing maintenance. So if, you know, towns can encourage more tourism, longer stays, people obviously spend more money, and that's great for the regions.
It's an issue that I haven't seen come up as one that finalists in the Rural Women's Awards tackle before. So it's interesting that that you're wanting to tackle this. I look forward to hearing more about that. But Natalie is also joining us. Natalie Somerville is joining us from Clare. Natalie, can you tell me a bit about yourself and what you're wanting to tackle?
Yeah, hi. My name's Nat Somerville and I'm a farmer from the Mid-North. Broadacre cropping and livestock farmer, and my project is focused on strengthening the native bush food industry in South Australia. And the reason why I chose this is because there is huge demand for native bush food nationally and internationally, and I believe we're missing out on huge potential for this. So my project really focuses on the low to medium high rainfall areas in South Australia, and it's focusing on being able to complement current farming systems and providing economic opportunity for rural communities as well.
And on the Country Hour, we've been talking a lot about this idea of this growing interest in native bush foods. People are really interested to try these new things, but how much does the growth and expansion of bush foods create, I guess, maybe some greater respect for diverse backgrounds, do you think, Nat?
Oh, absolutely. So the more that we share the knowledge of these native bush foods about not only where they came from and what their traditional uses are for, then that's the better we can share or come together and, share backgrounds, I suppose, and open the doors to better relationships and opportunities.
Thanks so much. That was Natalie Somerville, who has joined us on the phone here. Finally, we have Deanna Lush in the studio as well. And Deanna has been on the Country Hour before, but in this case, she's also a finalist for the South Australian Rural Women's Award. Deanna, what are you wanting to look at as part of your project, as part of the awards?
Thanks, Cassie. So my name is Deanna Lush. I wear two hats, so my husband and I farm an hour east of Adelaide. Grain and sheep are our two main commodities. But in addition to that, I'm co-director of a company called Ag Communicators. So we're based here in Adelaide, and we look after communication, marketing and events for rural and regional Australia. So in 2017, I was lucky enough to do a Churchill Fellowship, and so I travelled to the US, UK and Canada researching how those countries were upskilling their producers to better build trust in agriculture. And so that's the focus of my project in Australia. I've seen a lot of really great things that organisations internationally are doing to help farmers build trust with those outside of agriculture. So people, living in cities or towns that don't encounter agriculture in their day-to-day life. And one of those things is around how we engage with those people. So there's some research that's been done by the US Centre for Food Integrity, and that has found that shared values are 3 to 5 times more important to building trust than sharing facts or demonstrating technical skills or expertise. And so that is huge. That is a game changer for how we as farmers engage with people outside of our audience. So what I'm wanting to do is help producers to understand how we can make those values-based connections with people in cities who perhaps don't understand agriculture and where food comes from, and I guess upskill producers to help them better do that.
And how would you do that?
Yeah, look, I think there are quite a number of producers out there that just have a natural flair for this kind of thing. So it's giving them the tools to better communicate. It's helping them to understand, well, what are the shared values that I have as a producer that someone in a city might connect with? And we have stacks of them in agriculture when it comes to animal welfare, environmental sustainability, intergenerational businesses. Like, there is a lot of common ground that we actually do have with non-ag audiences, and we just need to, I guess, upskill ourselves in how we can better communicate with them and share our point of view.
Thanks for that, Deanna. And all four of you are finalists, as I've said, as part of these awards. But I was wondering, Di, what importance do you think these awards that really advance particular ideas of women in the community, what importance do you think these awards have in getting these projects and people from regional areas to have more opportunity to really make a difference?
I think it's hugely important, Cathy. Women, as we can just see from the four of us, have got a diverse range of skills and ideas that we can bring to our communities, both locally and nationally. And I think it's a wonderful thing to hear ideas from women right across the nation. And the wonderful thing about the AgriFutures Award is that it's not only, we're state-based at the moment, but whichever one of us wins goes on to the nationals and gets their idea out nationally as well. And I think all you know, the participants in these awards are probably able to reproduce their projects at a national level. And that's a huge advantage for women, I think.
Probably Natalie's idea to investigate the production of native foods is probably the closest to what I would consider to traditional agriculture. Otherwise, the other three projects are more issues-based. But, Michelle, why do you think this is important, to bring in people perhaps with skills outside of what you'd think of as core farming skills?
I think part of being in a rural and regional community is being able to promote that wonderful place that you live. And tourism really is a huge growing sector of our country's rural and regional economy. There's so many caravanners, self-contained caravanners on the road at the moment, that it really is a big opportunity to miss. And if we can come up with some sort of simple solution to this problem, it would really definitely benefit so many communities. All of the projects really do have great merit. And as Di said, they're just... It's really exciting to be involved and to have the publicity around all of our projects so that they all get a bit of a leg up.
They really do. They're all really interesting projects. I kind of wish everyone could win, because I want to see all of them come to fruition. But Natalie, bush foods are across the country. How does a forum like the Agri-Foods Rural Women's Award give you the chance to look at what's happening interstate and really grow this whole concept of native foods and the greater interest and respect for Indigenous backgrounds and information and ways of doing things?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the attention that we get as finalists alone is fantastic. And already I've been able to raise awareness of not only the demand for native foods, but also the need to consider cultural appropriation of that knowledge of our bush foods. So this hasn't really been addressed previously. And so on a national level, I think this needs to be addressed, which is, you know, as a starting point, great to have a national platform on this, and boring words such as policies and frameworks around the use of intellectual property. You mentioned before that, you know, my project's the closest thing to traditional farming, but I actually see native bush foods as traditional farming, and what we do in our current farming systems is more modern farming. You know, bush foods have been around for, you know, over 60,000 years, and they, Indigenous people, were the first plant breeders of this land, which, you know, it's great to be able to have a platform to make people aware that that is the case. We're missing out on a lot of knowledge, and being able to impart that knowledge into our modern farming systems is the benefit of, you know, such an award, to be able to start those conversations on a national level. You know, I'm not just talking edible foods here. I'm also talking the ability to use native grasses as a grazing tool, management tool for our degraded landscapes here in South Australia. So if we can, you know, start developing some really great cultivars of grasses, then, you know, we need a bit more investment in this area, and we will be having, you know, a really good management tool to help us when it is dry.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And definitely looking at the way, or farmers are looking at the way that Indigenous people did farm, and trying to learn from that to embrace the way that farming can work in Australia moving forward. Finally, Deanna, you've been involved in awards projects like this, as you mentioned, the Churchill Scholarship. What do you think that, even without being a winner, you are, or anyone who is a finalist in this, can take away from this in terms of leadership and building programs and really trying to make a difference in communities?
Look, I think obviously the process itself, for women with really great projects, we didn't know each other, most of us, prior to this. So it's about developing new networks, and even with the funding partners in the awards. So you've got AgriFutures, you've also got PIRSA facilitating the process, and Westpac providing the bursary of $10,000, which will go to the winner to, conduct their project. So we've been able to meet representatives from all of those organisations. It's not every day that we come in and do an interview on the Country Hour, so there's professional development opportunities in dealing with media. We've also had some media training with PIRSA, so there's a whole raft of skills that perhaps we wouldn't have otherwise had the opportunity to develop outside of the awards process, but also a whole lot of great people that we've met as a result of the award process.
I agree. I really have been struck by how interesting and diverse the projects have been, and it'll be great to see them roll out. But it's not just on a state level. Deanna, if the winner will then go on to the national stage, how much more can you achieve then when you actually have this national platform as part of the AgriFutures community?
Yeah, look, I think that is one of the really great avenues about this award process. We've all got issues that we're really passionate about within our own states and within our own local communities. But one of the great things is that the winner will progress to the national level. And nationally, I mean, if you consider last year's winner, her project was about banana waste and converting that waste into flour. Now, I mean, that's an example of a really, you know, really topical, really great issue when it comes to food waste. It does provide a national platform for the issue that you've selected to be considered nationally, and I'm sure it will open doors for discussions to be had nationally as well. So lots of opportunities to be, I guess, to be progressing an issue that's close to your heart at both a state and a national level.